broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, December 21st, 2023. 17 minutes past the hour, first day of winter. How about that? 4 days until Christmas. Now remember to tune in tomorrow. Our big Christmas show starts tomorrow morning, 8:15 a.m., and will run through 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But we've got to start off this morning, first hour, talking about something we've been talking an awful lot about this week. Mayor Schertzer joined us on Tuesday morning. And a city council meeting was to happen on Tuesday night dealing with the pay raises here in the city. And we had not heard as of yesterday what had happened with that. So this morning, very kindly, Third Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber has come in. And Jason, I guess we'll just start up. What happened Monday night?
A lot happened Monday night.
Tuesday night, because we had a special meeting night.
So, to the point, all elected offices received a raise. Now, there were some issues with amendments and such with the mayor's race, because, as you know, it was originally proposed, not the mayor's race, but the mayor's salary, sorry, it was originally proposed to be $110,000. That was a large number that a lot of people had a heartburn with and wanted that number to be reeled back in. And so I proposed an amendment to change that from $110,000 to $80,000.
Now, this was the third reading.
So, yes. This was the third reading. And anytime, so with parliamentary procedure, Robert's rules of how you run a meeting, if you make an amendment, it reverts back to a first reading, and there's a state statute that says that any ordinance and resolution has to have three readings on three separate days.
Now, just to make this clear to the audience, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I think Mayor Schertzer brought this up on Tuesday, that because of where this is falling in the year, in December, that if it was not passed before the end of the year, the pay raises could not go into effect next year.
Well, correct. So any elected official cannot realize an increase, salary increase or reduction during their term. So before anyone is sworn in on January 1, all salaries have to be established prior to.
So would that be, for mayor, that's 4 years?
Correct.
So basically, this being in December, even though the amendment was made at 80,000, being December 19th?
Yeah, it was the 19th.
They're really, it would be very hard to get three readings of this in.
It would have been difficult. We've done it in the past, and then you just simply call special meetings three consecutive nights, or we have a rule that we can waive that statutory requirement for the three readings.
Okay.
And that's a rule to suspend the three readings rule, or a motion to suspend the three readings rule. And that takes a two-thirds majority of council to do that. And that's what we did. So we amended it to 80. And I believe it passed by just the small majority that it required. And then the mayor salary received another amendment. I believe it was Mr. Neff decided to make an amendment to make it $95,000 a year. I believe that passed by the narrow majority that it needed for the amendment to pass. So it went from 110 to 80, now to 95.
And just for the record, the current mayor's salary is about 69,000.
It is 69,000 with the next term will realize an increase to 74.5, because we did this 2 years ago. We did, and it was similar timing. We didn't have enough time to get the three readings in. And also a little nuance to when we do things late in a year like this, it requires more than just a simple 5-4 majority. It requires a 6 people to be on the affirmative side, because if there's a declaration of emergency, it needs 6 people for that declaration to kick in. And if you don't have the 6 people, that declaration doesn't kick in, you don't have 30 days left in the year, then the person going into that term doesn't realize the raise.
So you said not 110,000, let's make this 80.
That's, yes.
They were good with that.
Yep.
And then let's suspend the rules.
No, we didn't get to it.
Then they amended it again.
It was amended again.
To 95. Then let's suspend the rules.
Then let's suspend the rules. The rules were not suspended. So then it reverted back to a first reading.
Okay.
And so this is where it gets a little messy, or a lot messy. So once you try to suspend the rules, you can't do that anymore.
You can only one shot, and it didn't pass.
And it did not pass. So only other thing you can do with that particular business is to amend it further or move on, and that stands as his first reading. That's what we did, because if you look at the motion to suspend rules, it's, you can't reconsider it. And you can only do it once. So we moved on. Went through our rest of our business. And then at the end of the meeting, Mr. Ratliff wanted to talk about the mayor's salary again. And Mark Russell advised us, as he has in the past, how we could go about doing that. And in my opinion, we've done it incorrectly in the past, but we did it. And he advised council to reconsider the suspension of rules for the mayor's salary and proceed further. Council did not follow his advice. There wasn't a motion to reconsider. It was immediately amended to $90,000. That passed with the majority it needed. Then they went to a vote to suspend the rules. That passed, and then it went to a vote to adopt, and that passed. So the mayor's salary is set at $90,000.
So the law director advised them on how to do it.
Correct.
And they did not do it that way.
As I recall, there was any motion to reconsider.
So, on the whole, what does that mean?
I don't know. I think it means that, so council can do whatever they want, they can change the rules however they want, but it to me it's not clear. And what I fear the most is, let's say that Collins receives this $90,000 raise, the auditors come in, because the state comes in and audits everything. They audit our minutes, they look at how we conduct our meetings, and they look at that and say, well, you didn't procedurally do this correctly. The mayor realized a increase that wasn't procedurally done correctly, so now he may have potentially have to pay back an increase that he didn't realize.
And this is a $21,000 a year raise at this point.
Yeah, if that's the math, yeah.
So from 69 to 90.
Yes.
Is where. Now, in your opinion, why did this happen? Why? Because when Mayor Schertzer was here on Tuesday, he said he felt, and it's his opinion, that this was a political thing, the pay raise, at least for the mayor. And he also felt that they were giving it to a person, not a job.
If the they felt that,
the people voting yes, I guess.
That could be. I can't speak for them. It wasn't political, or it wasn't for a person for me. It was for that office. And I know Collins is upset with me because he doesn't understand the process that we went through. And I know he thinks that I was personally going after him.
That, why does that he is think not that?
The case. Because he did. he doesn't understand the process that that whole thing went through Tuesday night. I don't think there's anyone on council that even understood what was going on. And he viewed that as I was trying to not give him a raise, and that wasn't the case. My whole thing for the mayor's salary was 110 was too much, 80,000 was where I thought it should be, and I believe Mr. Neff even said in a committee that he did a cost of living adjustment, and he said that the mayor's salary should be around 83. So if I'm at 80 and it should be 83 per Mr. Neff, but yet he goes and makes an amendment for 95.
Now, to your memory, who voted against this pay raise?
On the final?
Yeah.
So there was several votes cast. So yeah. I was the only one that voted against the mayor's
at 90,000.
At 90,000, yes.
So because there are Democrats on the council.
Yes.
Ayers, Mike Thomas is still there.
Mike Thomas was absent.
Was absent.
Yes.
First ward council person.
Mr. Gerritsen was there.
Mm-hmm. He was there, and he voted for it.
Yes.
So why, you the Republican, when everything's so political now, why were you the lone no vote for a Republican mayor?
And that's where Mr. Collins was upset with me. He said exactly that. Not exactly that. You're a Republican. Why did you vote no? He took it personally because of what you just laid out. And my no vote was cast because I believe that procedure, those votes taken, weren't done properly.
If they had been done properly, would you have voted yes?
Yes, at 90. Yeah, 90 was at my highest that I would consider for the mayor's position.
Now, Bill Collins has not taken office yet. Should an elected official, you've been an elected official for a while, be taking umbrage at something like that? You voting how you want to vote.
I think it's difficult for some people to not take things personally. And I try to tell everyone that whatever happens in council chambers, don't take it personally. But if you do, immediately after, come and say, what's going on? Don't walk away and try to fill in the gaps yourself. And the worst thing to do is don't go to someone else and ask them what I was thinking. So we can't take things personally.
For somebody who has not become mayor yet, do you foresee this as a problem? I was at a meeting 2 weeks ago in which he had some things to say about the auditor's office, and Ayers Ratliff, the second ward city councilman, felt reprimanded and said so in the meeting. I will not be reprimanded by a mayor-elect.
If you're asking if that's Collins' style, if that's his style, it doesn't scare me. I don't intimidate easy. So if that's the way he wants to lead, but I there's several tense issues going on with Marion, and unfortunately feelings are going to get hurt, but we have to do the business of the city, put our personal grievances and personal feelings to the side and do what's best for the city. That's what I try to do all the time.
There's a lot to get to here, but this mayor's salary is of a particular interest to a lot of people. Again, mayor shirts are being on Tuesday morning. As you said, there possibly could be trouble down the road if things were not done properly. But Mayor Schertzer has until December 31st to veto this. Did he give any indication that he would do that? Because on Tuesday, he said it was not off the table. He had to see what happened Tuesday night, what the final numbers were, what the discussion was. Doesn't sound like it was good. As far as the voting procedure.
Right. The voting, and Schertzer will probably side with Mark Russell's advice, but as far as what Russell gave to council to how to proceed, but does he really dig down into the weeds and say, well, they really didn't follow his advice? But as far as if Schertzer gave me an indication of which way, I haven't spoke with him since Tuesday night. He left the meeting rather quickly.
It's interesting because we've tried to reach out to him as well, and he's usually pretty good about responding. maybe he's taking this into consideration at this point.
He very well could, and I, if I was the mayor, I would consider it due to the financial situation the city's in.
Well, that's an interesting question because, again, just by talking to the mayor, he's the most recent member of city government we've had on. We've learned that investments have had to be sold off. Mm-hmm. We know that fines are coming more, and there are already fines there from the IRS.
Correct.
We know that not even sure if payroll was or could be met. There were some issues there. Cash flow problem is the term we're hearing.
Yes.
And now we voted raises in.
And so Tuesday night's meeting and the Monday night full council meeting the week prior were probably the strangest meetings I've ever been involved in because of what you just said. Cash flow problems, divesting investments. We're talking about raises. We're talking about giving raises, an increase to an individual that we have a vote of no confidence on council floor about. So, I mean, it was the strangest meeting that I've ever been a part of.
And also no bond rating, which down the road could be an issue for things like Marion Area Transit, the Senior Center, which are funded by grants.
Right,
and things of that nature that you have to have a good bond, or at least a bond rating, mm-hmm. to deal with.
Right. And our bond rating, getting one back is down the road. And if we're divesting our savings account or whatever you want to call it, we're now at a point that our investments are less than what our total annual expenses are, and that's not a good look, because when you're going to get your bond rating back, they're going to ask, can you cover a year's expenses? We can't.
So how does anybody vote a pay raise in knowing that? I mean, a $1 pay raise,
and it's tough to do, and I see the issue, and
where does the money come from?
I use in a poor analogy that we are young kids that have a checkbook. We still have checks in the checkbook. We have no clue what's in our bank account, and we're writing checks hoping like hell that they cash. And that's what we do. We have to have faith that we're floating checks okay to do this.
Just for the sake, because there's not a lot of news in this area right now, and that's not the Marion Star's fault. Hopefully they will get a new reporter and all will be well. But there were other pay raises, so let's run down those. What happened with the auditors? I think that was of particular interest,
right,
because of what's going on with that office. The law director, and I believe city council also has an ongoing pay raise.
I go through them in my head how we process them through council. So first thing we did was the law director, and that went to $110,000 or $107,000, and that was voted through unanimously.
Passed.
No problems. I don't even think there's any discussion. The next thing was the mayor, and that went through eventually at 90, and then the auditor. That passed at $80,000, which was what was proposed. There was some discussion, like, can we assure that we're not giving someone that we have a resolution and no confidence in, they stick around and realize this $20,000 increase in salary. And I stated, and this has always been what I'm working towards, the auditor will leave by choice or by force. It's one or the other. So she may realize that for a short time, but one way or the other, she will no longer be the auditor.
Now, what do you mean by force?
So there's routes that we could go. There's several routes. We can go through the courts. It takes four electors to sign an affidavit, and it can go through the courts. Courts could remove her. The state auditor, I believe it is, state auditor or secretary of state, I believe it's state auditor, can step in and say you're guilty of these malfeasance, misfeasance, or whatever, and remove her. Or there's another scenario where she is unbondable. So when these, as these IRS fines keep coming in, it exceeds her $250,000 bond, and if they have to pay out, the bond agency's not going to be foolish enough to bond her again. So the second that she becomes unbondable, the auditor of state declares that office vacant.
Now, was this raised to $80,000, I think, which was the
yes.
projected goal?
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
And at this point, if all plays out as we suspect it will, she will leave on January the 5th.
January 5th, yes.
So we really don't know who will be getting the $80,000.
Right.
That will be whoever Bill Collins chooses.
Correct.
Because Miranda was an independent.
Correct.
Okay. So City Council.
So City Council, back in July, August, I can't remember when, there an ordinance went through to give City Council increase. That was voted down. So Monday council meeting, I amended the treasurer's ordinance for his increase to add City Council and Council President. And then it passed, I believe it passed unanimously. Mr. Feliciano may have voted no, but it passed unanimously that the treasurer, council president, and all council members receive a $12,000 salary.
And
not an increase, a $12,000 salary.
It's currently nine?
Currently nine.
Nine, so
right.
$3,000 for
right.
every council member.
Right.
Okay, so looking at this, we have put quite a bit more money in the budget on the payroll side for next year.
Yes,
yeah. So, how does that all balance out with how's everything that's
that,
going on
that
right
goes
now?
Back to, yeah, these are the strangest meetings we've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
So, I truly believe that our revenues are solid. We just have to get someone in there that can not create mistakes to where our revenue is taken away from us, so that we can put it towards salaries and benefits for all employees.
Got to talk about the auditor here for a second, because this has been a big story the last couple weeks. We all know the story with Robert Landon, mm-hmm. resigned the position. There were some problems there. Miranda McGinnis appointed. She's asked to resign before the election by the mayor, by Mr. Ratliff. And I believe
Rollins was
the other
vocal
one?
Was vocal.
Yeah,
meetings.
I believe that ran in the paper. Mm-hmm. She said on this show three different times and on election night, which she won unopposed, there's no circumstance under which she would resign the office. Then a month later, she resigns the office, and we were sent the resignation letter, which is two lines, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have it in front of me right now. But in the resignation letter, the first letter is I'm resigning January 5th, 2023, but that's just a typo.
Right.
2024. But the second line is what caused some problem for a lot of people. I've already accepted another position with the city, and we have learned since then that apparently she went down one day to train for that position, the director of transit, mm-hmm. and the person who could offer her this position would be the mayor-elect. Once he's mayor, he can't offer it, he can't give it to her,
right.
appoint her, but I think full well plans to appoint her. I think he has said so much come January 5th. Can you do that in city government? We asked the mayor that. Can you go to an elected official, if this is what happened, because we haven't heard either one of them tell the story yet.
Okay.
Can you go to an elected official and say, for whatever reason, this position's not the best fit for you, but we all have to make some money, we all have to live, I have a position over here I can appoint you to if you leave this one. Now, I'm only saying that it looks like it happened that way because in her resignation letter, she says she's already accepted another position. So if we're talking about the chicken and the egg here.
Right. So the short answer is no, you can't make a deal to get a resignation. There wasn't a need at all to make a deal with Miranda McGinnis. She and I spoke with her on very clear, frank terms that moving forward, the future of Marion will not see Miranda McGinnis as the auditor. At some point, you will be removed, and so there wasn't any need whatsoever to try to make a deal. I don't even want to try to figure out what may have gone on in Mr. Collins's head if he was actually making a deal, which I don't think he was. But if he did, that's highly inappropriate in my opinion, because like I said, no reason to make a deal. She was going to be removed by force or by choice.
So at some point, should counsel or somebody on counsel ask for this to be explained? Because we've asked them both to come on the show and talk just what happened. They've both refused at this point. Should the city of Marion know what happened there?
I guess, yeah. I mean, so I can't stand drama, and that's what we've had out of the auditor's office for 4 years. Why do we want to create drama coming into a new term, trying to get a new auditor? We have a new mayor. What do we gain by hijacking meetings, talking about what were your conversations about? Did you make a deal? Did you do this? And so let's go down the path that, okay, maybe they did make a deal, which is highly inappropriate. So then do you ask someone to come in and press charges against these people, have the new mayor removed from office because he made a deal? I don't see what we gain by going down that path.
What if something like this happened again? Or do you believe this is just an isolated incident where maybe somebody didn't know that this is highly inappropriate, your terms, to do something like this?
So I don't know if there was any deal made. I don't know how any conversations went. If it happened, I think it's inappropriate. We need to fix it. I don't know how to really answer your question, because I just don't know what happened.
So what happened to Marion government? Because we're looking at all these issues, and we've had some of the same people in there for a little bit of time now. What has went haywire at the end of 2023 to where we have possible deals? And again, we don't know. We just have the resignation letter, which if you say you've accepted the position and Mayor Schertzer says, I have not appointed you to that position.
It looks like something's there.
But maybe one day we'll hear what happened there. We're voting pay raises at a time when investments are being sold off and cash flow problems are happening, and fines are coming in, and there is no bond rating. A vote on the mayor's salary happens in apparently a way that it should not have happened.
That's in my opinion on how it happened. I mean,
possibly could cause problems down the road. Why? Why all this stuff?
I can't pinpoint the one thing it is. I don't know. I really don't know how we've got to this point. Mike Thomas has been a councilman for, I don't know, 24 plus years, and he's no longer running. And his last few years has not been his best, because he's getting older. But when Mike was in, when it was prime time, Mike, council ran smooth. People knew procedure. When I first got on council, the first thing that Mike Thomas told me was he welcomed me to council. He gave me council rules, and he gave me phone numbers to all the people that I needed to talk to about any constituent concerns. And he told me that's your main focus is taking care of your phone calls and people that call you. And I think we've lost sight of how to be a good council person. It's become a political stage for your party, I believe. And so often we've had meetings hijacked just for that reason. And it's sad and it's unfortunate, and it goes back to elections have consequences. We're voting people just because there's a letter hanging beside their name in the ballot box. And right now it's strong Republicans. At one time when I first came on council, I was one of two Republicans, and the rest was Democrats. Now, I was also told by Mike Thomas that he can count to five, and he didn't need me. And then if he needed me, he would let me know what I needed to know. But we don't have that strong leadership on council. Some try, and there's a lot of ignorance in their efforts. So there's a lot of things that you just can't pinpoint one thing of what's happened to city government or council.
Now, speaking of all this, we all know that there will be a new mayor, Bill Collins, but there will be five new city council members. I believe it's five.
Four or five.
Yeah. Including the council president.
Correct.
Could this be a problem? Coming into this situation that we have spoken about this morning.
So I plan on doing the same thing that Mike Thomas did to me. I plan on telling every new incoming council person, these are the rules of council. Learn them, because procedurally you have to know them. That's your responsibility. And take care of your constituents when they get a call and represent them. I don't know Mary Stoneburner. I spoke with her maybe two or three times, just a handful of times. My brief conversation, she seems like a sharp lady. I think she can handle running a meeting. I don't know if she has any political leanings, if those will be evident, but the council president just runs the meeting. That's it.
Now, on the whole, I guess really we're down to 10 days now in Mayor Schertzer's term. Do you see him messing with these salaries at all? And by messing, what I mean, because he does have a line item veto, he could change amounts. Or do you think he is going to sign these, have his signature on these pay raises?
So I he does have veto power. And line item veto, I think he can just strike things. I don't know if he can change numbers.
Pocket veto as well. He was talking about these the other day.
So, and I'm not real clear on the pocket veto strategy. If he fails to sign it, how that works, because there was a declaration of emergency, and I believe there's 10 days for that. I'm not 100% sure if he doesn't sign that. That still could kick in. I think I'm not 100% sure. So he could go any route. He could also, because there's a combined treasurer, council president, he can go in there and strike out the treasurer. He can strike out council. Maybe if he doesn't think council should have a $3,000 increase, he can strike out council and council president. He has a lot of options. But whatever he does, I don't think it'll be in a vindictive type nature, like, I'm going out the door, here's my middle finger, and veto everything. I don't think that's his. If he were to veto something, it would be sound reasoning, and it's probably based on financial concerns with the city.
Now, it is my understanding that he would have to sign these as well for them to take effect. Is that right?
So that's the part that I'm not 100% clear on, because I believe each salary increase had the emergency declaration, and that I believe gives 10 days for a signature or veto. So if it was past the 19th, and if he didn't sign it on the 29th or the 30th of the month, I think it would go into effect, but I'm not 100% sure. Because I thought that we proceeded incorrectly on a vote to increase the mayor's salary, and I was actually screamed at and told that I do not have a legal opinion, so...
Now, who did that?
I don't want to say who said that, but that's what was relayed to me over a phone conversation.
Oh, this happened in a phone conversation.
Right, right. So I'm not going to put my opinion out there, I'm pretty sure I know what should happen.
All that being said, you've worked with Mayor Schertzer in city government for a while. Can you see him, because of that, what you just spoke of, not necessarily the phone call, but right. the possibly inappropriate way that this salary increase went down, the financial state the city is in, that he will walk out of office without doing anything in regard to these salaries?
There's a good chance that he would not sign them, and in a way that's him not taking a position and not trying to muddy the waters for the incoming council.
Does this make for a rough 10 days for him, in your opinion?
I wouldn't think so. He's had far bigger decisions than this on his plate. I mean, we went through a great recession, COVID. So this, I don't think he will have a problem with whatever he decides to do. And I don't think he's losing any sleep over this.
So on this, you believe he will leave these as they are?
I would say that he would leave them as they are, probably not sign them. I'm trying to pry into his mind and what he's thinking, but he could veto him. I really don't know.
I just think on the long haul, the issue is going to be everything that has happened in the last 30 days financially with the city. I think everybody would probably be taking a look at that, or should be taking a look at that.
Yeah, everyone should be aware of our financial situation. So I've not had many conversations at all with the council members elect to get a feel for them about how they feel for these raises, or the financial future of Marion. So it's going to be interesting as this month expires and we go into the new term, how that's going to be set up and how the new council, how it leads into the next term.
So we have a new auditor coming in, not sure who that will be yet, after January the 5th. Last I heard, the auditor and the treasurer's books do not match.
Right, they haven't matched 2 years that I know of.
Clearly some problem in the auditor's office.
Yes.
She'll be headed to the transit department. 5 new council members coming in, new mayor coming in, new salaries coming in. Everything we've said, no bond rating, investments being sold off, cash flow problems, IRS getting to the point where within 2 days of a city council meeting, they said, we're going to come take this money if you don't pay this money.
Yeah, that was an interesting, if I was Miranda, not to interrupt you, but when she went to Independence, Ohio, that had to be the most agonizing 2-hour drive north. If she realized what she was actually doing, she was taking our assets, list of properties, bank account information to give to the IRS as payment for the fines that she was a part of or a previous administration had caused.
On the whole, what happened with Miranda? We've talked enough about Robert Landon over the past 4 years. What happened with Miranda, and why will this not happen with the next person?
So we are in a vicious cycle of chewing up auditors. Miranda got off to a good start. However, this is me being me. Robert Landon was a better campaigner than an auditor. That's how we ended up with Robert. And the R hanging beside his name helped. Miranda was put into a terrible position because the party that chose her couldn't find anybody. And unfortunate for her, they found her and she was put into a position that she should have been put at an entry-level position and got and gain life experience too, because that was clearly evident that she didn't have life experience when we was trying to purchase a fire truck and how that went down. So she was set up to fail by the party because they appointed her and then abandoned her. And I know when Julie Cagle was removed from office or left office, Jessica Wallace went in there, and that was divisive within the party of who we would put in there. But Jessica finally won. But she went in there and she worked, and she reached out to other clerk of courts, and I want to say there was a dozen or more clerk of courts from the state that came in and helped us get caught up in the clerk of courts office, which it was suggested for Miranda to do that. Didn't go anywhere. It was suggested for her to get the local government services in early. She didn't do that. Finally, a month and a half ago, I made a phone call because we have to right the city ship. We have to get it on a new path because I don't know what the future is or how the new council members are going to lead. So I was making sure that I set the city up to where financially we are on a smooth path with a lot of eyeballs on it to get it fixed. So at some point, I think Miranda felt comfortable because she found out she was unopposed and she was running as an independent unopposed. So she didn't have to run for re-election. And that puts pressure on people for running for re-election to do a good job. And so slowly the wheels started falling off and where we are now because of it.
Why won't this happen with the next auditor?
I can't say it won't happen. I will say that it probably will happen again.
With more money for the auditor. with a bigger salary.
With more money, yeah, because unless that office for the last 4 years had two individuals that had no management experience. They didn't know how to manage people. And if Collins can find a strong leader and someone that can read a calendar and that can open mail when we get a past due notice and then follow up and make a phone call, I think that individual will be very successful.
Deputy Auditor Martin Watts has been there through the Robert Landon situation, also through the Miranda McGinnis situation. Why is he not the guy? Because he's certainly been there during all this. And why is he still there if this stuff keeps happening?
Martin is the common denominator. And you can go with that either way you want to go. Is he the common denominator because of the mistakes? Or is he the common denominator to get us fixed and move forward? I think that there will be an interim auditor until Collins appoints somebody, and I think it will be Martin. But I don't myself personally, and I don't know if Martin will continue to be the deputy auditor because he is the common denominator the last 4 years.
Bond issues regarding Miranda, and I think even Martin at one point it was brought up. Will those be gone after?
Miranda's, yes. Martin's, I don't think so, because back with Robert's issue, I'm terrible with names, but I'm excellent with nicknames. And I can't remember her name, but I will not say her nickname that I gave her. But she stood up in a council meeting and said that she was the one that made the mistake, the IRS penalty mistake. We should have went after her bond to help recoup some of the damages to the city. But this Mark Russell, our law director, says that we can't until we get an audit for a finding for recovery from the state, and the state refuses to go back and open it so we can go after that. So I think that'll be the similar instance with Martin. The state really is not going to look at the deputy. They will look just at Miranda because she's the auditor.
We are coming up. Can you stay a little longer?
Sure.
Yeah, because there are two other things I want to talk about because the petitions came out yesterday. They're not certified yet,
right?
For county offices. And there's something to talk about there as well.
Oh, is there?
Well, that's the paperwork I saw says there's something to talk about there. And also there's something to talk about in regard to the clerk of council that Ayers Ratliff brought up. So I want to do those two things.
Sure.
And we're going to take a break, come back with Jason Schaber right after this.
It would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginians. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus?